guys know it's important that we finish the race well. We've been following a little story, talking in the Bible about some scriptures that help us through those things, and then talking about a story of a real-life man that's been going through a race that he entered and the struggles, ups and downs that he's gone through. And we'll finish that story today. Today's scripture reading, you don't have to turn there. We will be in 2 Timothy today, so if you want to flip there while I read today's scripture reading, 2 Timothy is where we'll be today. And the scripture reading continues on from the last 2 weeks from Psalm 119. This week is verse 41 through 48. And it says, "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. For I trust in your word, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty. For I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hand also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation to my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. What it said real quick there that really caught my eye was, "I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." And how many times are we just afraid to talk in front of people about our God and our faith and our truth that is the Bible? This scripture follows along, just continuing what we did the last couple weeks. And we talked about four things out of this scripture from Psalm 119. And it's, "Revive us, Lord. Breathe new life into our spirit," we talked about last week. "Reinvigorate me. Energize me. Excite me. Then let us help study and learn so that we can pass on God's word." And again, I said in 2013, let us as a church just try and do that. Let us get better at reviving ourselves and helping revive others to be excited for God and study and learn. And then the third thing was, recognize and meditate on the wonderful works of God. So many times they're all around us. The very breath that we take, every time we breathe in and breathe out, that's a gift from God. Let us recognize and meditate on these things. And fourth thing is, let us enter the race. And when we enter the race, let us run that race and let us run for the goal. Everybody have their Bibles ready to learn today? I hope. Raise them up high this week. Let's raise them up high. I've seen people that are like, "Man, this thing's heavy." It's a pocket size. Come on. Raise it up high. This is my Bible. It leads me and it feeds me. Amen. If you haven't been here the last couple weeks, again, I do a shorter version. Although I enjoy Jack's, I just do a shorter version. It's much easier for me. And we talked the last couple weeks, we're in 1 Corinthians 9, striving for the crown. And it says, "Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize?" And we talked about the Christian faith. In the Christian faith, we all can run. The difference is, we all receive the prize. We all receive the prize. And then we went through Philippians last week. And we talked about pressing towards the goal, persevering. We talked about the runner getting his feet stuck in the sand dunes. And how does he get through that? And we're watching other people, our Christian brothers and sisters, flying past us. How are their feet not getting stuck in the ground? And it said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And then this week we're going to be in 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, the scripture for that, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it's verse 6 and 8. And it says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And verse 8 says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Amen? We're talking about running our race with excitement and with energy. Everyone running towards the goal. The first week we talked about our poor runner that says, "Man, entering the race, I thought that was good enough. To do well was merely to enter. To finish, let alone finish in a timely manner, was a distant thought." Last week, we talked about our runner and the feelings he felt. We talked about an Olympic skater also. And what I said was a skater was training. He was in an accident with another skater, and it cut him real bad. And he bled and bled and bled. He recuperated from that, was in training again, and he wiped out. This is a speed skater, and he wiped out and hit the wall, and he broke some bones and went through a couple years of rehabilitation. And that skater went on to enter the Olympics again. This is over several years that he tried to do that. His name is Stephen Bradbury. And he entered that race. They didn't expect him to do well. And I'm sure in his mind he thought, "I'm just in here because I made it. I know I'm not going to win." And he took off in his race. And as he took off in his race, sure enough, went to last place right out of the gate. Immediately the other skaters went around. And I don't know how many times they go around. It's not a whole lot. And it's a fairly small area in the big picture. And as they rounded that last turn coming to the finish line, and some of you may have seen it, every skater in front of him going for the goal, and they got crossed up. Every single one of them fell down and wiped out. And to his amazement, he looked at them, one not this far from the finish line. And he looked at them as he skated across and went, "Are you kidding me?" He had just won the Olympics. Last turn, every one of his competitors laid in a mess, 10, 15, maybe 20 feet at the most from the finish line. And he skated across literally with his hands up like, "Did I really just do this thing?" He got to stand there with his medal. From last to first place. He pressed on. He persevered. He went through those trials. "You're not going to make it. You've broken bones. You've cut yourself before. You're really not expected to do well." Has anybody in here ever heard that? You're not expected to do well. You can go ahead and enter, but you're not expected to do well. I'm here to tell you, we can all be winners. Ken Blanchard in the One Minute Manager wrote a little saying, and I loved it. He said, "Everyone is a potential winner. The difference is, some are disguised as losers." And let me tell you guys, for anybody, and guys, gals, whatever, anybody that told you you are a loser, you can enter, but you're not expected to do well. You expect great things out of yourself. Everyone is a potential winner. And I'm telling you, in God's family and in God's eyes, we're all winners. And we'll all be victors. Just like the Scripture said we just read in 2 Timothy. It's not just for one, but it's for everyone. Remember that as we pass people. We talked last week about respecting people in life as well as death. Not just in death, but in life. Respect one another. Remember, those losers you're staring at, working with, going to school with, playing sports with, doing music with, whatever it is. And no, I'm not representing our music group here. I'm just saying in band, as some of our students are in band. It's just people you meet on the roadway. See, meet, whatever. Every one of those losers is a potential winner. And it just may be they had one too many people told them they weren't going to amount to anything, or they're not going to win, or they can't do anything. It's much easier to finish the race with support from other people. And we talked last week about those little bits of support as the runner was running along and heard that first little voice cry out, "You can do it." Speaking to no one, just speaking generally, words of encouragement. We can all do it. We finished last week with the runner saying, "I was ashamed when I walked. I was running and I walked, and my walks became longer than my runs." And he passed a graveside where a relative of his was buried. And he said, "When I remembered that, I was ashamed that I had walked, because their family didn't get the chance to do anything." We have to run this race with excitement, with energy, with respect for our fellow brothers and sisters, in and out of Christ. Pastor Jack's talked before about love your neighbor. In his book he wrote, he says, God doesn't call us to win our neighbor. He calls us to love our neighbor. And in loving our neighbor, we may get to win our neighbor. But when you just walk up to someone and try and win them, that can just be another closed door in their face or your face. So our story continues on with our runner. Again, if you haven't been here, we've followed the path of this runner. It's a true story. It's not me. And a runner says he entered the race, and it was 20-some miles. He didn't know that at first, but figured that out real quick and still entered the race. And he'd been struggling in and out of being exhausted and his body shutting down. And he says, "As I neared the mile 22 mark, I could feel my body literally shutting down. It was raining, it was cold, I could barely walk, let alone run. I've been in the medical field. I knew I was in trouble." Two runners passed me and said, "Are you okay?" I didn't answer them. They kept going. I came by a water stop. They had just taken down this water stop. Everyone was gone. And they were just taking it down. And as they took it down, there was my oasis, the runner says. For although everyone was gone, I was at the end. I don't think anyone was behind me. There, I saw it. My light, my revival, my energy, my excitement, my renewed spirit. For up ahead, I saw my family. This was like a beacon and new energy to me. My wife and kids hopped out. My daughter jumped out with a sign. And it read Hebrews 12:1. And it said, "Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. Finish strong." And it just gets to me because I think, how many times have we done that? We're in the Christian faith. And we're walking our race. And I think a lot of times it doesn't affect us until we visit a third world country. Or we could see it on TV. We could hear someone come speak about it. We can watch a video about it. For those of us that have been there and have seen those things, those are the times I feel ashamed that I've ever walked my Christian race. And there it stood, my daughter with her sign, Hebrews 12:1. My wife hopped out, my son. And then my mother entered the scene as she hopped out. She was crying, looking at my body, struggling to continue to walk. I was so moved and touched and overjoyed to see them that I broke down. Anyone ever just break down because they're happy to see people they love, people that love them? But I was cold and I was freezing. And I jumped in that car and they talked to me and I couldn't answer. I was just shivering and shaking. My son, innocently enough, said, "Hey, look at all these texts have been coming in. Mike's already done with the race." That was the guy that asked him to join the race with him. He said, "I was excited for my friend." "How many more miles do you have to go?" was the next question. I didn't know. I didn't know where I was at. I couldn't think straight. I thought back to my high school days in cross country as I used to run. 2 weeks ago we talked about him running cross country. And he was leading that race and he looked back and thought he was going to see everyone going the other way. Because he thought, "There's no way I'm actually leading this thing." And then he hit that first sand dune. And right then he bogged down and everyone flew past him. And he finished near the back of the pack. As he said, or she, as they always do. So I thought back to my high school days. And I was running a meet, a cross-country meet. And it was in the neighborhood just a couple blocks from our house. It was through a park, several steep hills. And of course, like today, it was raining all day. And the race path was muddy and full of puddles. And I came up over this hill. And I was stunned to see a figure appear through the rain and start running alongside me. I could also see the shadowy figure in the distance, standing near a tree. And I thought, that's a familiar face. You see, he was smoking his pipe. And he was wearing my dad's familiar hat that he always wore. "Looking good," he said. "It's really muddy up there. A lot of kids have been wiping out. So be careful. Be careful, son." I thought about those thoughts. My mother warning me about today, thinking back to my father about several years ago when I was in high school. I think that was the only event my dad ever showed up at, the sporting event, just because of schedules. But it meant the world to me, my father showing up just a few blocks from home, nodding and saying, "Looking good." Just as much as it meant with my mother meeting me today. I finished the race, barely moving across the finish line. There really was no one behind me. There was no one ahead of me. See, they had long passed that finish line. As I finished the race, it was a non-event with no fanfare or glory. Except in my heart. And in my heart, I had received the crown. See, the crowds were long gone. Most everything was being shut down, just as a water station they had been taking down that I passed. It didn't matter to me. I finished. You see, finishing didn't start or didn't come without starting. Starting didn't come without training, and training didn't come without commitment. My friends, it's the same thing in our Christian race. Finishing does not come without starting. And then when you start, we train, we study, we learn God's Word. We become familiar with it to the point where we start living our life that way. That's the training we do. And that kind of training doesn't come without commitment. Now, I think it'll be a different story when we finish our race and we cross that finish line. I think there's going to be all kinds of fanfare. those of us that have issues in our bodies and in our life. When we cross that line, they're gone. You see, we no longer drag that stuff into glory with us. The pain and the hurt and the struggles we have here on earth, again, they're behind us. We no longer carry that across that finish line. I finally found a marathon worker and I got my medal. The other workstations were abandoned. I had to walk about 2 blocks alone just to get to the empty finisher chute. You see, it was all over now. I could go back to normalcy and get familiar with things slowly. But it was an event that I viewed as both a horrible day and that one I wouldn't trade for anything in this world. I literally could barely walk. I lifted my legs into my vehicle, literally lifting them up to physically get me inside of it. Text messages still coming in from friends, encouraging me, especially when they found out I had finished. I realized on my drive home how much my family and friends carried me through this and how much they meant to me. And I thank my friend for inviting me on this journey. That's the end of the story, guys. As we finish our journey, how are we going to look back on these things? We just crossed the finish line. Any aches and pains and diseases we have and sorrows and sadnesses, they're gone instantly. I believe there will be a big fanfare and there will be a big committee there to welcome us. I don't believe it will be an abandoned finisher shoot at all, but that was this runner's shoot and his finish. As you pull out of our parking lot today, I want you to reflect on the people that have encouraged you. And it's real easy as we do this to think about all the people that didn't encourage us. I can think of high school teachers. I'm knocking on the door of 50, and I can think of high school teachers that encouraged me. And I've said it before to our teachers, never underestimate the value of a kind word on any given day to a student. I think about the lady last week we talked about that came dragging with great difficulty the largest oxygen tank this guy had ever seen, giving her all when the call came out from the Murrow bombing. They said they need supplies. This is all I have. I want you to think about when you've given all you had, time, talent, effort, finances. I want you to think about those encouragers in your life. I want you to think about opportunities where you may have encouraged somebody. And I hate to say it, but at the same time, have you missed opportunities to encourage somebody? I think we all miss opportunities. There's another runner, Derek Redmond. And he'd been training and running a race, and he's doing one of these races around the lap. I don't remember the specifics of it. And as he took off, he was leading that. He was favored to win. And then rounding one of the corners, it happened. He grabbed his leg and started limping. He had torn something in there. And he stopped and he dropped down on the track. His dreams and his hopes crushed like that because they kept going. But he stood up. And as odd as it looked and felt, he headed for that finish line. And he tried to run and he'd take a couple steps. And again, it looked awkward, and I'm sure it felt awkward. He was crying with the pain. And he kept going. And as he rounded that corner, the crowd stood up and they cheered him on. I'm sure little kids and adults saying, "You can do it." Admiring that effort that he took to get to the finish line. And then all of a sudden, security becomes aware some man came breaking through the crowds. And the guy pushed people back out of his way. They tried to stop him. He said, "That's my son." And he grabbed him and he came up beside him. He said, "We're going to finish this together, son, and I'm going to help you do it." And for those of you that are struggling today that have anything, your Father in heaven is going to do the same thing. He can and He will come along beside you. And that father took that guy and they crossed that finish line together. And right there, he broke down. And he cried on his father's shoulder. And our God lets us do the same thing. He allows us to cry on His shoulder. He allows us to come to Him. And at the same time, even when we don't call out to Him, He sees our pain and our struggle. And He comes wading through all our problems. And He says, "I'm going to help you finish this one. And we're going to get through this." And Derek Redmond's father came through and helped him through that race. A proud moment for both those two. A proud moment for both of them. I'm going to close with one other story. Imagine this. It is another runner. It was back in the 1968 Summer Olympics. A runner from a small country had gone through the race, and somehow, somewhere along the long journey, it was a marathon, he had been injured. 74 people started that race. 57 completed it. It was over an hour long for the runners. The top three came in. They had the medal ceremony. They were taking down the ceremony and people were leaving, much like this runner that I read about over the last 3 weeks, because they thought it was all done. They thought all the runners were in. But they could hear these police cars coming through. And here came that gentleman walking. And as the crowd saw him coming through, pressing on to finish his race that he had started, they started standing to their feet and started clapping and cheering. And he started running. He had dislocated his knee in the middle of that race. And he pressed on. And they asked, "Why did you do that?" He said, "My country did not send me all these miles." And I don't have his quote down, I'm sorry. But he said, "My country did not send me all these miles to quit, to just enter the race and start it. They sent me all this way to finish the race." Our God in heaven has sent every one of us not merely to start it, but to finish our race and to finish well. He said, "I will always win because I will never quit." We may know brothers and sisters in Christ that have entered the race, but they stepped aside and they quit. God calls us for a very specific purpose, to love our neighbor as ourself. I asked in Ground Zero 2 weeks ago, we talked about that. and ask our young people, how many of you don't love yourself? I'm sad to say, several raised their hand. I said, okay, we're going to pray for you. I said, how many don't like yourself? And another couple hands went up. And we prayed for them, and we prayed about them, and we prayed for people in similar situations. But God calls us to love our neighbor as ourself. So obviously He calls us to love ourself. You're all winners. Everyone is a potential winner. Then God calls us to invite people into the race with us. Just like this guy's friend Mike did from work. Invite your friends into the race. But don't just invite them in. Help train them. Give them the materials. How many times have you seen or heard someone comes to Christ, they don't even have a Bible? Give them a Bible. Get them one. Get with us. We have Bibles here we'll give people. Just so you know. And He calls us to help them train. He calls us to encourage them. And then He calls us to just go out and run that race. Run that race with excitement. Striving for the crown. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Today's scripture in 2 Timothy. Very brief, very short scripture, but that's what it's about. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me and every one of you that enter and run that race. On that day, and He will give it to all who have loved His appearing. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful for an opportunity. So thankful for an opportunity to come together today as we talk about the importance of our race. Lord, we know it's going to be a lifetime. We know we're going to run into obstacles. And we know we are going to be tired. We know these because Your Word tells us we'll run into these things. God, today we ask that You breathe new life into each and every one of us. That revival comes our way, into our spirit, into our souls, into our households, into our church. That revival comes, that we focus on studying and spending time in God's Word every day. Lord, that we recognize the wondrous works of Your hand. And that we meditate and reflect on those things. God, today for those that may have heard, as we talked about, you won't win. You're a loser. Lord, I pray for them that their spirit is changed, that their outlook on themselves is changed. For those that may feel, I don't love myself or like myself either. Lord, that their mindset is changed by the love of Christ. Lord, I pray that Your light comes down into each and every one of us and is reflected out through us by our actions and our words. Lord, allow us to encourage one another. Allow us to check up on one another. Help us to check up on one another, Lord. As we continue praying, if there's those today, just as we've talked about, that feel stuck, that just need new energy breathed into their life, would you just raise your hand where I can recognize you and pray for you, please? This is about a race that will take our lifetime. Thank you. Father, for those with their hand up and those that may feel that but not have raised their hands, Lord, would you just fill them? Fill them with your Spirit. Lord, would you comfort them and give them new energy, a new outlook on themselves and on you? Lord, would you give them boldness to grow in that area? Lord, in 2013, help our church reach out to each other. Lord, we're a loving church, but may we reach out just one step further. Help our brothers and sisters out. Love one another and grow in Christ together as a church body. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we leave, a couple things. The story is a true story. It was difficult at times for me to read because it was my father and my mother. And it was my twin brother that wrote that story. It's very real and very deep for him. And it was a race that he ran and a struggle that he had a difficult time with. But it was a victory that he'll never forget and never change that. Fascinating stories there, all true. I left out anything that may have been embellished or embarrassing. But it's a true story. Some of you said, now, is this someone you know? Who is this? What is this? Is it really you? I already said it wasn't me. But it's a story my twin brother wrote from his race from, I believe it was 2, maybe 3 years ago. And if one of you want to come up and make your announcement also. So that's who wrote the story, and that's what that is about. But I'm thankful to say his victory was wonderful and beautiful when he finally made it.